Welcome to The Truth About Lending. I'm Melinda Payne, the president and owner of The Truth About Lending. I've been a licensed mortgage broker for over 25 years and bring you clear and straightforward insights on everything from securing your initial home purchase to refinancing your house or obtaining condo financing in Florida's dynamic lending market. Now let's get into The Truth About Lending. No, you're not alone. I'm gonna make this place your home. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Lunch and Learn with Melinda and The Truth About Lending. This week, we are talking about the National Association of Realtors Settlement and really a lender's perspective on that. So first of all, let me say that this is not the final ruling on this. This is not a final settlement. It's still subject to the court approval, so things can change. There are some basic guidelines of what we believe is going to happen, but this is all really subject to the court approval and could change. So just take everything I'm saying with a grain of salt, just from that perspective. Let me first address a few things. There is significant value in using a realtor. If you are a buyer that is listening to this video and you're trying to understand how this is going to affect you, let me explain to you that I truly believe that there's a significant value in making sure you have an agent representing you from the buyer's perspective. There's negotiations that needs to be done. There's assessment of value that needs to be done. There's contract preparation. There's guidance with the inspections. Of course, the guidance with the value is one of the most important things on the price. Really guiding you through the entire process is just such a valuable tool. So please, if you're a buyer listening to this, it is important you understand that you really do need an agent to guide you through this process. It's not just preparing a contract. It's not just finding an address and sending you to go see it. There's a lot more involved that you do need to have somebody that protects you. You know, there are various stages through the contract that you have the risk of losing money. You've got an inspection contingency. You've got a financing contingency. During those time periods, there are different availability of ways that your deposit can be refunded to you once you go under contract. So for example, during an inspection contingency, if you cancel a contract, you'll get your deposit back. But during a financing contingency, if you don't get your loan, if you're denied, you can get your deposit back. But if you don't have somebody that's protecting you with those timeframes to watch out for you and your best interest, you could lose your deposit. You could lose your escrow deposit, which is usually a substantial amount. It could be a few thousand dollars to $50,000. I mean, who knows? That's a negotiated thing. And these are all things that you really want to make sure you have an agent representing you as the buyer to protect you through the process. So let's just kind of backtrack and see what we believe is changing and how this will affect you as a buyer, or if you're an agent that is listening, how this is going to potentially affect you as well. So our understanding of what's happening is that the MLS is no longer going to offer a compensation amount for a buyer's agent. So up until, you know, this settlement, what has happened is that when an agent is representing a buyer and going to see a house with the buyer, the seller is offering a certain percentage of the sales price as a commission to the buyer's agent. That's typically how it's been for many, many years. And so therefore, the seller is paying the buyer's agent. Well, this lawsuit was all about the fact that the attorneys believed that the sellers should not be responsible to pay the buyer's agent's commission. And basically went on to say that it was something similar to price fixing as far as the cost on the seller side, which is debatable, but that's a whole nother story. So we're not here to debate the merit of the settlement. Personally, I have a lot of disagreements with what the entire case is all about, but we're here to understand how this affects you as a buyer, or if you're listening, you as an agent. Okay. So our understanding is that buyers will now have the ability to negotiate with their buyer's agent how much that they're willing to pay them for their services. So now the buyer is now responsible to pay their own agent. So I just want to be clear, this was not the case before this settlement. Before this settlement, the seller was always paying the agent. Now, our understanding is that the buyer has to compensate the buyer's agent, and that there will no longer be a compensation listed on the MLS. So from a buyer's perspective, this is really going to require you to probably sign a buyer's brokerage agreement or buyer's agency agreement or whatever it's called in your market, basically stating that you're going to be using this agent and as a result, you're willing to pay this amount to your agent for their services, for their time once you purchase a house. And what that means is that you're going to have additional closing costs as a buyer. You have to factor in the additional closing cost in the closing cost of your purchase. So, you know, this really is something that is new to the industry because up until this settlement, mainly buyer's agents were paid from the seller. So this is now a completely unknown territory that we're really in. Now, some people may say, well, this is how it was done with commercial real estate, or this is how it's done. And I think maybe in the Northwest part of the United States, there's some different guidelines in certain states. I think it's Washington State that has done this like this for a while. But the point is that for most of the country, this is not a closing cost that the buyer had to factor into their equation. So we really need to try to take a step back and understand how is that going to work from a lender's perspective? What are we looking at? And what can we do as a lender to help guide you, either the agent or the buyer, to be able to better go through this process? So, you know, as I said, they're trying to, or I think I said, they're trying to put this in place by July 1st. That's a lot of change to happen in such a short period of time, and they still have to get court approval. So I think that maybe July 1st is a pie in the sky kind of time frame that they're shooting for, but we're going to base this on this potentially changing by July 1st. And not only that, we really have to kind of take a step back and understand that buyers are going to be able to negotiate the cost or the fee that their buyer's agent is going to charge. Now, normally, most buyer's agent would be expecting a 3% commission of the sales price. That seems to be the norm for a very long time. So I'm going to base all of my analysis on the 3% for the sake of this conversation. And let me again say, definitely worth every single penny to make sure you have a buyer's agent involved, because the amount of money and time and energy it's going to save you is well worth whatever it is that you're going to pay to the agent that's representing you. So first of all, let me just discuss that you cannot finance in the additional closing costs. So let's just take a $500,000 purchase price as an example. So actually, we're going to take a step back before we go into that analogy. And I'm just going to tell you that I truly believe that the values of sales prices are going to go up as a result of this. So some of you may have seen some of the analysis that I've already posted on some of our social media sites. But what I can tell you is that let's take a current transaction for $500,000. Currently, if a buyer is going to purchase a property and it's a $500,000 purchase price, the buyer's agent is going to get paid from the seller. Okay. Everything is going to be negotiated based on that $500,000 purchase price. So this lawsuit had the mindset that they're going to save the sellers money in the long run. Well, let's just take that perspective. Okay, yes, they may be saving, well, they had the mindset that they're going to be saving consumers in general money in the long run. But really what they're doing is saving sellers money, not consumers. Buyers, I think, are going to see the prices go up. And I'll tell you why. If we have a $500,000 house today that a seller was paying 6% real estate commission, so 3% to their listing agent and 3% to the buyer's agent. So in the seller's mind, they had a cost of $30,000 in real estate commissions. So 6% of $500,000, $30,000 in commissions. If they're now not required to pay the buyer's agent the 3% or the $15,000, which by the way, all of this was always negotiable to begin with, but if they're now not required to pay that 3% or expected, I should say, not required, but they're not expected to pay that 3% of the $500,000, a seller is not going to say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to discount my house to $485,000 because I don't have to pay it anymore. So therefore, I have $15,000 less in closing costs. Never mind the fact that the house is worth $500,000. I'm not going to ask for $500,000. I'm going to, out of the goodness of my heart, reduce the price of the house to $485,000 so that a buyer could purchase the property at a discount of the market. That's not going to happen. Okay. What's going to happen is the seller is going to say, great, I'm going to get $15,000 more. So I'm going to ask $500,000 for the house. That's what my agent is telling me it's worth. I'm going to get $500,000 for the house. So now a buyer comes along and a buyer says, hey, I love this house. I want to buy this house, but I need to pay my agent $15,000 or 3% of the sales price for the buyer's agent fee. And I don't have that extra $15,000 to bring to closing. Why don't I offer the seller $515,000 and have the seller pay $15,000 of my closing cost? Okay. Because now the buyer is bringing $15,000 less to closing because they're offering more for the house. They're offering $515,000 for the house and they're asking the seller to pay $15,000 of the closing cost, which is really that $15,000 buyer's fee or buyer's agent fee. So now what just happened to the price of that house? That price of the house went from $500,000 to $515,000. So I truly believe that the effect on the prices of homes are going to be that, or is going to be that the prices are going to go up because we're going to see buyers trying to negotiate seller paid closing cost, which the seller's not obligated to do. The seller could say, no, sorry, I'm not raising the price of the house to $500,000. I'm going to leave after $550,000. I'm going to leave it at $500,000. And I don't care that you want to include me paying 3% of the sales price towards closing costs or $15,000 towards closing costs. They could say that. And then what happens in that situation? Okay, let's take a step back. Let me be clear. You cannot finance in closing cost on a purchase of a house. Now, there's a very small exception to that with USDA loans, but very few clients are doing a USDA loan. That's an agricultural property. Okay. So 99% of people buying houses are not going to be able to finance in the closing cost. It's just not allowed. The only way to include it is to see if the seller is willing to pay some of your closing costs, which means you may either have to pay full price for a house or you may have to raise the price of the house to cover the closing cost. But when you do that, the house has to appraise. So that $500,000 scenario, which is now $515,000, means that the lender's appraiser, remember an appraisal is what determines the value of the house, then the appraisal has to come in at the $550,000 sales price. So let's just take a step back. Let's say that you purchase the property for $500,000. The seller is not willing to pay the closing cost. So you're having to pay that additional $15,000 out of pocket. The house appraises for $520,000. You get a great deal. You're under contract for $500,000. You've got a buyer's agent that's helping you, and the house appraises for $520,000. And you come back to me and you say, Melinda, this is fantastic news. I want to finance in my closing costs. Nope, doesn't work that way. A lender is going to go off of the lower of the sales price or the appraised value. They're not going to allow you to finance in the closing costs. The only way to do it is to have the seller increase the sales price and hope that they will go ahead and pay the closing costs because you're offering them above and beyond what they're expecting, and hope the house appraises. So, there's a question coming in from Shannon. Yes, Shannon, you're correct. At the beginning of July, there is going to be the buyer's brokerage agreements that's going to be required. That's what we believe. And that's what I had touched base on a little bit earlier in the session, that that's what we believe is going to happen. So from a buyer's perspective, that means that that's the agent you're committing to. You're committing to using that agent. Now, I know some agents have wanted that in the past, but the fee part of that, the amount that you're going to pay the agent, may not have been on those buyer's brokerage agreements before. So that is correct, Shannon. That is going to be a requirement. So let's just get back to that scenario. So what did I just say? A $500,000 house now could potentially have an additional $15,000 in closing costs because you are paying a buyer's agent 3%, which is the normal expected rate that usually buyer's agents get. And now you have to bring your down payment, your regular closing cost, and now you have an additional $15,000 in closing costs that didn't exist before the settlement, okay? Personally, I think this is a horrible situation for buyers. I think this is going to put additional pressure and costs, especially on buyers who already were struggling to come up with the closing costs and down payment that they had. This could potentially mean that buyers are now going to say, hey, you know what? Instead of putting down 10%, I need to put down 5% because now I need to account for the additional closing cost. So what's that going? What effect is that going to have on you as a buyer? Well, your monthly payment is now higher because you're financing more. Your mortgage insurance, which for those who don't remember, mortgage insurance is an insurance policy that the lender takes out on you, the buyer, when you don't put down 20%. It basically protects the lender as a way to cover their butt. So what that means is that if you were to default or be foreclosed on, it gives them a percentage of the money back as basically some type of compensation for a default. And since they believe, or I guess since the studies show when somebody's not putting down 20%, there's a higher default rate. So therefore the mortgage insurance is required. Now, mortgage insurance actually is tiered. So the more you put down, the lower the mortgage insurance is. So in that scenario that I just said, we've got a situation where somebody is now saying to themselves, okay, I've got $50,000 in total that I'm working with. And that $50,000 has to encompass the closing costs. It has to encompass the down payment. This is what I'm working with, Melinda. This is the total I have out of pocket. Now, I said this in another video. Keep in mind, that's a different question than how much of a down payment are you working with? Because another loan officer at another company may say to a buyer, hey, how much of a down payment are you working with? And they're going to say 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%. Whatever percentage they say, in the buyer's mind, if you're listening and you're a buyer, you're thinking that's the total that I'm coming out of pocket. You're not thinking about, okay, or most buyers are not thinking about, okay, I need that down payment plus closing costs plus this, plus this, plus that. So the question that we ask at The Truth About Lending is, how much money are you working with in total? What is the goal here? Do you have $20,000, $50,000, $100,000, whatever that is? We need to back out the closing costs to factor in what is going to be the loan amount that we're looking for. So now we're going to have to increase higher loan amounts, which means that if you're not putting down 20%, the mortgage insurance is going to be higher. So these are all things that will affect a buyer. Now, there is some confusion out there about FHA and VA loans. So let me address this, okay? Right now, if you are getting an FHA loan, let's say this new rule is in place and it's July 1st, and now all of a sudden, you know, you have to pay the buyer's agent's commission. If you are getting an FHA loan, you are allowed to pay the real estate commission. There is some confusion out there about what's allowed and what's not allowed. You are allowed to pay the buyer's real estate commission. You are allowed to pay the buyer's agent's commission. If you're the buyer, you're allowed to pay your realtor. That's not a problem. It's just additional closing costs you have to pay. If it's a VA loan, if you are a veteran listening, first of all, thank you so much for your service. My father is a retired disabled veteran. My son is a veteran. My grandfather was a veteran that served in World War II. Thank you so much for your service. But with VA, a veteran is not allowed to pay a real estate commission. So unless the VA changes their rules on this, a seller will have to pay and have to be negotiated as a seller paid closing cost, because the VA does not allow the buyer even the option of paying the real estate commission. So we're going to have to see how this plays out. We are expecting some guidance on this from FHA, from VA, from the Federal Housing Finance Agency, FHFA, which controls Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac for conventional loans. As all of this gets digested, we are expected to have some additional input and guidance. Now, they are not going to come out and say you can finance in closing costs that exceed the appraised value. And they're not going to come out and say, in my opinion, not going to come out and say that they will allow you to use equity in an appraisal. So we'll see. We're really kind of like in this uncharted territory as to how all of the agencies, how conventional loans, how FHA and VA is all going to look at it. But currently, with a conventional loan or an FHA loan, a buyer can pay this additional closing cost. It is allowed. Now, let's talk a little bit about seller paid closing costs and the caps as to how much a seller can pay of closing cost, because there really is a need already in the market for sellers to try to pay closing cost. And there's already been a pretty much a wanting or a need from the buyers that are out there for the sellers to contribute to the closing cost. Now, whether or not they were successful in getting the sellers to contribute for the closing cost, that's a whole nother ball of wax, because as many of you know, inventory is at a critical shortage. And as interest rates continue to go down and buyers come back into the market, prices are going to go up because inventory is not going to be doubling or tripling or anything like that. So when we have a fixed amount of inventory and now we're going to have twice as many buyers as the interest rates go down, prices are already going to go up. So negotiating for seller paid closing costs or for the seller to pay some of your closing costs as a buyer has already been a big challenge to begin with. It's already been a struggle to begin with because of the perspective of there's a lot of people that are buying houses, and some buyers have the money for closing costs. Or maybe, depending on the market you're in, I know if you're listening and you're in Florida, especially in South Florida, but really in the entire state of Florida, we have a very high percentage of cash buyers. So you may be competing against a cash buyer. It's not a simple thing to figure out. Again, this is why you really need an agent to guide you through this process. So let's just talk about how much closing cost a seller can pay on behalf of a buyer if it is negotiated, if a seller is willing to do that. So let's just take that $500,000 scenario again and go back to that. If a buyer is putting down less than 10% on a conventional loan, okay, it's 10% or less, then it's capped at 3% of the sales price. The seller cannot pay more than 3% of the sales price towards the buyer's closing costs. That is the cap. Now, if a buyer is putting down 10% or more, you can go up to a full 6% of the sales price contributed by the seller towards your closing costs. But keep in mind, these are not easy things to achieve because basically what you're saying to the seller is, hey, your house is worth 6% or 3% more than what you're selling it for. So in this case, we went back to asking the seller to pay $15,000 of closing costs. We're basically telling the seller, hey, I think it could appraise for $515,000. Can you pay $15,000 of my closing costs? Because you're still going to walk away for $500,000 with what you wanted. But the seller may or may not be willing to do that. The seller may say to themselves, wait a minute, you mean to tell me that my house could be worth $515,000? You know what? I'm going to raise the price to $515,000. Or the seller may say, you know what? That's great. Yes, I'm going to get my $500,000. So therefore, yes, I will go ahead and contribute $15,000 towards your closing costs. We don't know yet how this is going to be viewed. And it could be or will be, not could be, but should be and will be different for every possible seller. Some sellers are going to say, absolutely, let me do this. And some sellers are going to say, absolutely not. I'm going to raise the price to $515,000. So it really is going to be on a case-by-case basis. Now, let's talk about FHA and VA because those guidelines are different. With an FHA loan, the typical down payment is 3.5% of the purchase price. Just a reminder, FHA loans are not only for first-time homebuyers. Just want to interject that because a lot of people think they are. An FHA loan can be done by anybody, even if they owned a house or are selling a house and buying a new house. As long as they don't currently have an FHA loan, they can do another FHA loan, even if they had one before and they're selling that house. There's even some provisions to allow a borrower to have two FHA loans at one time, but the moon and the stars have to align for that. So for the sake of this conversation, assume they don't currently have an FHA loan and they're getting an FHA loan right now. The seller can pay 6% of the sales price towards the buyer's closing cost. Okay. So the seller is allowed to contribute up to the full 6% of the sales price towards the buyer's closing costs. That's not a problem, but it can't exceed the buyer's down payment. So if there is less closing costs than what the seller has agreed to pay, then that will be reduced to the actual amount of closing costs. So in that situation, the buyer must come up with the minimum down, which is the 3.5%, okay? So 6% is the total of the closing cost that a seller can pay towards the buyer's closing cost. Now let's take the VA loan. Now we just talked a second ago about VA loans and that currently the Veterans Administration does not allow a veteran to pay the buyer's agent's fee. Okay. They don't allow the realtor's fee to be paid by the buyer. They don't even allow the termite inspection to be paid by the buyer. They're doing everything they can to lower the cost for the veteran, which I think they should because, hey, you guys saved us and are out there protecting us. So I agree. Now, with a VA loan, the down payment requirement is usually zero, but there are veterans that do put money down and there are veterans that perhaps have different levels of eligibility and have to put a down payment. But generally speaking, usually there isn't a down payment requirement. In that case, you can go ahead and ask the seller to pay up to 6% of the sales price towards closing cost. And hopefully that buyer's fee, that buyer's agency fee is going to be covered by that closing cost assistance by the seller. Just remember that you can't finance that in. The only way currently, now this could change, but the only way currently the closing costs can be paid by the seller is by an agreement for the seller to pay it. And
Shannon has another question regarding VA loans. No, it is actually up to 6%. The seller can pay up to 6% on a VA loan. It's not an issue. However, the seller has to agree to it. So if the seller doesn't agree to it, then either the veteran can't buy the house in the VA scenario, or if it's an FHA or conventional loan, the buyer has to bring that extra money to closing. So bottom line is that it's very important that you are working with a loan officer who is giving you this type of knowledge in the beginning, because it's important that the loan is structured in a way that maybe is a higher loan amount so that you have that additional money for closing costs. And I really think this is going to potentially leave some buyers confused, because what are they looking at from the perspective of what do they need to do to have an agent representing them? And it is really important that you have a very good conversation with your agent and discuss the process, because things have changed or should be changing dramatically by July. And as I said from the beginning of this video, it is really imperative that you do have somebody representing you throughout the process. You know, negotiations and really guidance on price is well worth having an agent there on your behalf and understanding what you're getting yourself into. You know, there's a lot of discussion about that there may be a price reduction as a result of this lawsuit. And there may be prices going down as a result of this lawsuit. And I really don't see how that's possible. I think it actually is going to have the reverse effect on prices. And I think we're going to see people paying over and above the price that the house is listed at in order to cover closing costs. Or we may see listings that are offering to pay closing costs. Now, paying a buyer's closing costs is certainly allowed, and that might be something that could be welcomed to see that happening more often. And we'll have to wait and see how that is really viewed. The most important thing is, if you are an agent that's watching this video, make sure you're having a discussion with the client regarding the total funds that they have out to put down, and make sure that you've had that discussion with the loan officer, that they're factoring that in. It is going to be, let's see, we do have a question. Are lenders doing anything to assist buyers with having to cover buyers' agents' commissions? So I know you just jumped on, but let me just tell you that you cannot finance the closing cost into the loan. The only way that you can do that is if the seller raises the price and pays the buyer's closing costs. So now we're going to have to see if there's any guidance that is given, or if there's anything that changes with the different agencies. We really hope that there's some additional guidance that's allowed, but historically speaking, the lender is going to use the lower of the purchase price or the appraised value. So there isn't exactly a way to finance in the closing cost, because if the house appraises for $550,000, but you have it under contract for $500,000, they're going to go off a appraised value of $500,000, because they're going to feel like if it was worth $550,000, the seller would have been selling it for $550,000. Now, again, you could add closing costs to that as long as it appraises, but it really just going to depend on what happens and if the property will appraise or not. Let's see. Another question about lender credits. So that's a really great question. So yes, there are lender credits available. And that's one of the things that we do offer our clients, are lender credits. But keep in mind that this is something that we've been offering for some time. So we've already been, the lending industry has already been offering lender credits, or most loan officers really kind of have that in their pocket to be able to offer to a client. But then that could affect what interest rate you're getting. So one of the ways that you could look at it as is if a lender credit is offered, generally the interest rate is a little bit higher versus a lower interest rate where there may be no lender credit or there may be points that are being paid. So this is something, again, that depending on the client's finances, they may or may not have the room in their debt to income ratio to take a lender credit. But this is one of the reasons why it's so important to be working with somebody like ourselves at The Truth About Lending, where we're very honest and upfront with the client from the beginning. And we say, hey, listen, you've got X dollar amount you're working with. This is what you're looking at for total out of pocket that you're going to need for the purpose of this purchase. But we can offer you this rate with this lender credit to offset the closing costs. And I think we're going to see that happen more and more, keeping in mind that the buyer then has to qualify for a higher payment and a higher rate, because that's typically where you're going to see the lender credits. Now, there are some down payment assistance programs out there that help with closing costs and down payment, but those were already needed before these additional closing costs were in place. So now we're increasing the closing costs and nothing much is really changing regarding the availability of those down payment assistance. So we're now looking at a pool of buyers who may be shut out from purchasing because a result of this settlement. So this settlement didn't necessarily do anything to lower the sales prices of the houses. At least that's my perspective. If anything, it's increased the sales prices because now there's going to be more and more people negotiating to raise the price to cover the closing costs, to increase the sales price. Because if a seller is selling a house for $500,000 and let's say does agree to pay $515 for the price of the house, they're still, if they agree, let's back up for a second. If a seller is selling a house for $500,000, and agrees to sell it for $515, but pay $15,000 towards the buyer's closing costs, the seller is still netting the $500,000 sales price. They're going to go to closing. They're going to see a $515 sales price, and then they're going to see $15,000 in closing costs. So they're still walking away with $500,000. But what happens in the MLS, or what happens in public records? What sales price is reported? Okay. The $515 sales price. So then what happens when the seller's neighbor then goes to sell their house? 6 months later, an agent is going to go to list their house, and that agent is going to say, hey, your neighbor sold their house for $515. Hey, look at this. So what is the seller going to say? Yeah, that's great news. Let's go ahead and list it for $515 or $530 or whatever. It's going to increase the price. And then we're going to get back into that same hamster wheel where a buyer is going to come at $515 and they're going to say, I can't afford to pay an additional $15,000 or $16,000 out of pocket to my agent. Let's raise the price to $530 if it will appraise, and have you, the seller, pay the $15,000 in closing costs. So what just happened here? We have a trend of upward and upward and upward prices happening. And as a result, I really think this combined with the fact that we already were expecting prices to go up as a result of buyers coming back into the market as rates go down is going to increase prices. So we have a very short period of time where rates are going to be temporarily stagnant before the Fed does cut rates, because there really is a belief that the Fed is going to cut the rates. And this is a very short window of time where buyers still do not have that additional cost. So if you're out there and you're a buyer, buy something as soon as possible. Trust me when I tell you this, not only will your closing cost will go up, but on top of that, you've got a market that's about to go crazy and go up because buyers are coming back to the market. Okay. buyers are going to come back to the market because a lot of people have been scared to buy because of the higher interest rates. As interest rates go down, the amount that they can qualify for is going to significantly increase. And as a result, they're going to be more lenient on the prices that they're looking at. That buyer that could only qualify for a $500,000 house last year, when the rates go down, even 0.5%, may now qualify for a $550,000 house. When the rates go down a full 1%, now we're talking that buyer is qualifying for a $600,000 house. So it's a significant difference. I mean, this is just an estimate, but it's a significant difference of what to expect with the market. And yeah, we have another question here regarding, are values going to increase due to commissions? Well, values are going to increase because buyers are going to ask sellers to pay some of their closing costs, because the buyers are now going to be responsible for these commissions. And buyers are not typically working with endless amounts of money. They were already struggling to come up with the down payment and the closing costs. So now we're adding another 3% of closing costs on top of the purchase price. So yeah, I do think values are going to go up as a direct result of this lawsuit. So guys, I think that's going to pretty much cover it today. We're going to have another session on this next week as more information comes out. This is a pretty critical thing that's happening in the market. We're hoping that FHFA, which is the basically the agency that controls Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, issues a statement. We really are hoping that HUD or the VA issues some kind of statement. I don't know that they will in the next week. They may wait until this court case has been completely settled and approved, which it is not yet. So this is all still just us guessing what's going to happen based on the settlement. So we might not have an update next week, but we are going to delve into a little bit further again next week for those who weren't able to make this session. Let's see. We have another question. I was told back, just trying to read it. Realtors to whether if we made to both listing buyer's agent or not to determine comps. Okay. So the question is, that's a great question, Linda. The question is that when appraisers look at values, or at least I think the question is do they determine comparables based on what were the concessions? Okay. In other words, when an agent reports a closed sale on the MLS, they will report it as a cash sale, conventional sale. Was there a contribution from the seller? What type of concessions were given during that transaction? So the question was, how will appraisers view this if a concession was given? So let's take that $515,000 sales price, and let's say it's closed. It's now a closed sale, and the listing agent now reports it in the MLS as a closed sale. It was a conventional loan that closed. The seller paid $15,000 of closing costs, and it's a closed sale. Now, an appraiser comes along, and they see the neighbor has their house listed for $515,000 or whatever they have the house listed at, and they're looking at comparables. So they are going to see that $515,000 sale closed. And yes, they will see that there was a concession that was given from an appraiser standpoint. But what else are they going to see? They're going to believe that the house closed at that price and that the lender, since it's a conventional loan, allowed for the house close at that price. So therefore, the market dictated that somebody wanted to buy that house for $515,000. Now, yes, it's a very subjective field. There are adjustments that they can make on the appraisal, but that's not going to change the perspective of a seller who's going to, in their mind, say, hey, that house sold for $515,000, and I don't really care that they gave a concession to the seller. They were able to sell it for $515,000. So that's going to be up to the listing agents to manage. But yes, you're right, Linda. Appraisers do make adjustments for concessions, but it's very subjective. And also on top of that, sometimes agents may or may not report the concessions or accurately report the concessions. So it's going to be pretty imperative that listing agents, when they close out a sale in the MLS, that they do make sure if a concession was given, that they're reporting the concession. Now, at the end of the day, appraising a house, determining the value of the house, is really a subjective thing anyways. So it's going to be up to the appraiser to determine if a house is going to be worth whatever the price of the house is. But in general, I still strongly believe that this is something that's going to raise the price of houses in the long run, and that we have a very short window of time between now and July where buyers still do not have to pay the closing costs for a buyer's agent out of their pocket. The seller is still paying this until July. So it's pretty imperative if you're out there and you're thinking about buying or you're on the fence, there's a few critical things that are going to happen. First of all, we have a strong belief that interest rates are going to go down over the summer or before the election. You know, it's really funny how interest rates go down before an election, but that's a whole nother story. Anyways, we strongly believe rates are going to go down, and that's going to bring a much bigger amount of buyers into the market. So you have this temporary window where you still have negotiation power. And that power, I strongly believe, is already limited depending on the market you're in. If you're in the South Florida market, it's already tough. There's already a tremendous amount of competition. It's already hard to compete with cash buyers and everything else. To bring more buyers into the market is going to be challenging, to say the least. It's going to, in my opinion, be very much like a 2020 market where people were putting houses under contract with sight unseen and waiving all kinds of contingency. I mean, it was craziness. And so I feel like we're heading back to that direction. But you have this very short window of time. If you are a buyer watching this, buy something now. Get under contract now. You could always refinance the house later on. You can always refinance when interest rates are going to go down. The price is permanent. The interest rate is temporary, okay? You do not have to stay in the loan you're in. You can go ahead and refinance this later on. Guys, thank you so much. This is our session for the week. We're done. Please join us next week as we're going to have a further update on lenders' perspective on what's going on. Hopefully, we'll have some more updates from our agencies on our side and a little bit more guidance. We appreciate so much joining us and listening in. Let me first say that if you have not yet subscribed to our YouTube channel, please, please, please subscribe to make sure that you're getting all of our notifications every time we do a video. That way you don't have to jump on when we are doing it live. You'll be able to be notified when one is uploaded. And please join us every week to listen to what we're talking about here at The Truth About Lending. As always, thank you so much for making time in your day to watch our video, and remember to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Have a great day, everybody. Bye. Thank you for listening to The Truth About Lending. Stay up to date with all Florida loan and mortgage news by subscribing to our channel, and help us grow so we can continue bringing you insight and advice. Please like, share, and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. You can find the links to all our social media profiles in the description. You can find extra resources on our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. If you have any questions about Florida mortgages, we are licensed and ready to talk to you today. Call us at 888-76-TRUTH. That's 888-768-7884. You can also email us at melinda@ttal.info or visit us at our website, thetruthaboutlending.com. Until next time, remember, the truth about lending is out there for you.
No, you're not alone. 'Cause I'm gonna make this place yours.